and an alignment with destiny. Father, we give you thanks for that, and we worship you, Lord. Take charge, Holy Spirit, and do what you plan to do today. We surrender ourselves, we yield ourselves to you, but move this service in whatever way you decided to go. We yield to you completely, and we thank you, Lord, because you're here to bless your people, and every man here leaves this place transformed by your Spirit into the image of Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Last week we started a series, and we'll continue today. We concentrated on the predisposition of the heart to one of sacrifice and giving. We said that should be the posture of the believer, that should be ready to distribute, willing to communicate at all times. And we said it's not just money, it is that predisposition, like as basic as when you see someone at the airport struggling with a buggy and children, your heart just goes out and says, okay, let me help you with that. It's that state that opens you up to some things in the kingdom of God. That state of constant giving, of wanting to help, willing to distribute, ready to communicate in all things in your life. So we said that last week, that a man's giving, that word, that scripture says a man's gift to create, that word is giving. A man's giving will create room for him, the lifestyle. So we'll go a bit further, because we are going into how practically to work out even this salvation, what this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus really is. So we'll take it slowly. Today we're going to go into something else, and we trust the Holy Spirit to help us to establish it. So it's a lifestyle, it's a practice. Like the Word of God has to be practiced to see results. Last week's message was something that could easily be practiced. You could just make an adjustment and say, okay, this is how, Holy Spirit, I want to begin to practice this kind of lifestyle. So that is what the essence of the Word of God is. If it is not practiced, there is no result that comes with it. The essence of the Scriptures is to be practiced. Now let's go to the book of Revelation. And what we will share today, I will orientate our mind in a certain way before we go into the actual message today. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, to receive honor, and to receive power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." The essence of everything, you and me, we're all created for his pleasure. We're not created for ourselves, as it were. God created us for his pleasure. So we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to him. So I want us to begin to shift our orientation. It means that everything that concerns you concerns him. You begin to see yourself that you are here because he created you and he sent you here on an assignment. If you look at John 6:38, Jesus says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me." So God created you and sent you to the earth to do his will, to do something that regards, he has planned, and he put you in a body to do his will. So when you begin to see it like that, you begin to, it takes a different tone. You're not on your own, as it were. You are not you have to begin to look at life like that. And once that assignment is complete, then you leave the earth. You leave the earth once that assignment is complete. Now, let's go to Psalm 139. I'm going somewhere. I want to build it slowly. So take that thought in your mind that you are created specifically. God says, Mr. A, I want you to go to the earth to do something for me. So let us create you. Let's look for a family who will actually produce your body that your spirit will be transferred into. So the body is cased in the baby in the womb, and the child is born, a spirit comes alive into the earth with an assignment from God. And as that spirit is born, as that person is born, with his legal entry into the earth, he needs the body to function on the earth with God's will in mind. The enemy also rises up with his own agenda. And as that person grows up, he also develops his own agenda. So there are three agendas here on the earth, on the plate. So, and God is saying that my agenda is what I've sent you for. So the whole essence of man is actually to find that agenda and to fulfill it. The whole essence of your life is to find that will and that purpose and to fulfill it. Everything is tied around that. When you begin to think in that light, you begin to function in a different way. You begin to become fearless, as it were, of temporary things, of temporary challenges. Psalm 139, verse 16. It says that, you saw me before I was born. That means, it says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Think about that. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. It means that the plan was already laid out. The purpose was already laid out. The assignment was already laid out to a logical conclusion. It just says, now I'm sending you to fulfill that assignment. And when you begin to understand that every day is laid out, nothing has caught God by surprise. Everything about your life has been set into motion. Your purpose is to find. Your purpose is to find. And the essence of it all, really, is that God is saying now, and that purpose and that plan has been written in the volume of the book. And Jesus Christ came for one sole purpose, to open up again to man, because man was completely lost. To open up again the book to man, to give man access to the original plan and the intent of God. Because man could not find it without that. He says they could not find it, they were all lost. So the blood of Jesus has come to save man first of all and to give man access. Now you can go and fulfill your purpose. The essence was, let my people go that they might serve me. That was the whole intention. That was the whole reason. So when you begin to see it like that, you begin to know that you are not living to yourself anymore. You are living for his pleasure. And you begin to understand why Jesus, every time, every step he took, he had to make sure it was in accordance with what was written in the volume of the book. He had to make sure, he had to go back, he had to take time and say, this thing I am doing, as little as putting little things, casting lots on his garments, everything was written in the volume of the book. So what we are doing in all this, everything about it, is to direct men back to understand and to know that your life only starts when you discover what is written in the volume of the book. The challenges, the necessities, the reproaches, is to direct you back. It's for you to begin to see, look, it is not about temporary things. It is not about amassing wealth. Wealth will come. Interest will come. It's not about marriage and behaving in marriage. Those things will come. But the most important thing is that each person now begins to identify by the day what is written of them in the volume of the book. We'll go into the scriptures and we'll see that that's the whole essence of it all. You know, by the minute. It's not anything high. It is as where you are today. It is finding out what is written in the volume of the book. And you know, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower. I'll just say a few things. He says, if you don't understand this parable, you will not understand any other parable. It's just the foundation. And I will read something I shared in the Bible study, in the prayer meeting, sorry, on Friday, which I think is very crucial to this. Because the essence of it all is to actually, let me say it like this, find out what is written about you currently and take that thing which is God's thought towards you and make it your own so that you become that thing. That is the whole essence of everything. That's what it's about. So you are transformed to the very image that God has created you in. You're a new creature in Christ, but the mind has to be renewed. There has to be a transformation. You know, I began to think deeply when, after the last elections, when Boris was given a position of, I think it was external affairs or foreign affairs or something. Everybody was saying, how can Boris do this? They were laughing. One politician came to the scene. He said, Boris can do this. He laughed as well. He now sat down. He now was very serious. He said, Boris can do this only under one condition, if he can re-engineer himself. I thought about that. I said, natural men are talking about re-engineering themselves. I said, what does the scripture say? The scripture says, you will be transfigured by the renewal of your mind. It's the same thing. So natural men have perfected the principle of transfiguring themselves into different things. You have self-help books everywhere. People are achieving massive things with the thoughts that end in the terrestrial. But we are saying now that we have access to the thoughts that created everything. If you can understand the process of how to transfigure with the thoughts of God are deep. The natural man cannot access them. That's why the Holy Spirit has come. He says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. And Jesus Christ has passed those things to us by the Holy Spirit. Imagine if we can access the thoughts of God through the Spirit and understand the process of transfiguring ourselves with the help of the Spirit. Just imagine what bounds. There will be no limit. See, with the Christian, there will be no limit. That's why the angel came to Mary and said, look, he said, with the rhema of God, with the word of God, nothing shall be impossible. That's the original Greek of that scripture. Nothing shall be impossible. No situation in your life as a born-again child of God is irreversible. It's not possible. It is not. There is nothing that cannot be changed if we understand this process. Now, let me just read what I said, because it's so important that we understand this. You know, nothing will change in the life of a believer except the mind is renewed. You will not fulfill that purpose. Because it's the mind that gives you access to function on the earth. It's the mind that gives you that contact with the earth. So your life will be the same. You have all the promises and all the exceeding great and precious promises, but nothing will manifest on the outside until that mind is renewed. So there's going to be a transformation. And that's what we're interested in. So let me read this quickly. So that we get the perspective right. You know, so we settle down and do this. Where is that? It said basically, I can't find where I wrote it somewhere. It said basically, young farmers or new farmers do not understand one concept. They don't understand the concept that the ground where you plant the seed is the most important thing. That if the ground is hard and fallow, no matter how much seed you plant, it will not germinate. So he said people should take time to cultivate the ground, to hoe it and soften it, and put manure in it to make it a very fertile environment for the word of God, the seed, to be planted. Because the word of God is perfect. The ground, the receptor of the word, that's the problem. So if that can be, the problem is, so that was the problem. The word was perfect, but the ground had different characteristics. But if that can be sorted, that is why people are ever hearing and ever learning, but never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So if that ground is sorted, the seed of God's word, just pass that ground, just throw seeds. You can turn your back and just throw it. It just starts blossoming. So it's the ground. God is perfect. God is fine. The ground has to be dealt with. And I want to share one principle today. One principle. I'm going to talk about meditation, but I think, is it, like I said, practice. That's it. Practice. Every principle, practice. It's something we know, it's something we are familiar with. That's the danger of this thing. Something we are familiar with. You know, you can think about praying and not actually be praying. You can think about worship. Oh, you can talk about that. You can worship, but you're not actually worshiping. So I ask you, have you practiced worship as in waking up in the morning and begin to dance before the Lord? It's a different thing between practice and theory. Have you practiced it? So that's what I'm talking about. So by God's grace, will bring us in remembrance of this principle so that we'll practice it. Make a conscious effort, because when you practice, God's word always, always brings forth fruit. Always. And the principles of the kingdom are so simple, it just needs to be practiced. Just needs to be practiced. Now, we'll share something very briefly today before we go, so that we can go and practice it. So we're going to practice it. And I talked about last week, I talked about the subconscious blueprint. The subconscious blueprint, which is the most important thing. I was reading a book about a psychologist who is in charge of all the athletes in America. He was in charge. And he said, was asking some athletes, how many times hours do you train for? They said they train for 6 hours a day, 6.5 days a week. No, that's not where I'm going. And I said, 90% of them. So he now asked, he was concerned, because the performance of the U.S. athletes was still below par. Even though they were training 6 hours every day for 6.5 days every week. He said, but the performance was low. He said, what is the problem here? They would go to the gym, they would do all the rigors, all the exercises, everything required. He said, there's a problem here. He asked them. He went to the top athletes that were on top. He said, what do you guys do? He said, we do the training. I will spend 4 hours every day visualizing. They said, we have discovered that 70 to 90% of our performance is based on the mind. That's where it starts from. No transformation takes place without the renewal of the mind. Nothing happens. So here a principle today, which is one of the initial processes of making that heart ready to receive the word. I think next week we're going to the art of meditation, because in great details. So that subconscious blueprint is a product of everything you've been experiencing in your whole life. It has its stored up there. All the memories, all the experiences, all the things that were said to you. It's a huge bank of information that is regulating your affairs, like I said, subconsciously. And that is the part. It wasn't touched by your salvation experience. It has to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That is what the problem was in the old covenant. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. That was what God had problems with. Hebrews chapter 8. He said, think about it. The miracles were so massive. How can you walk through water and one is standing like this? But think about it. And you walk past. And the water stood at the wall on your right and your left. And you walk past. And you still doubted. God said, I have to change this covenant. He said, I have to get access into their inward thoughts. That is the whole essence of it. I have to get access into their hearts and to their minds to be able to inscribe the laws so that the obedience will come from the inside to the outside. And that's why I brought the new covenant, Hebrews chapter 10. So let me just say one thing. The most important thing, more important than anything you do on the outside, is to sit down with God's word, with the Holy Spirit there, and take advantage of it. We'll talk about that next week. And sit down with it. And with the process of meditation, bring the Spirit, we'll talk about how you do it. Allow the Spirit of God imprint those things into your inner consciousness, because that's the only way lasting change can take place. It's not by running around. There's so much truth flying around. The transformation actually takes place by the inner, and it's not hit or miss. It's a definite transformation where the word of God goes into the soul and begins to correct. And when it takes that thing away, it's done permanently. It's not chance. It causes a complete transformation. I mean, it destroys that thing. The word of God is so powerful. It destroys it like a hammer. It crushes it completely. It's life. It swallows death up. It abolishes that darkness in that place. That's what it does. But today, let's focus on this. You know, and mindsets controls everything, your emotions, your reactions and everything. Like, I'll give you an example. I went to drop a patient in intensive care a couple of years ago, and there was a consultant there. I was still a registrar then, so he came and I said, I said, are you the registrar? The guy then I looked at his badge. I said, oh my God, he's a consultant. So the guy looked at me and said, oh, I was expecting that. Oh, wow. I thank you for that compliment. I'm so happy you said that. I feel so young. Oh, thank you for that. Oh, you're so nice, aren't you? 3 weeks later, another of my consultants, someone came in and said, are you the registrar? He said, there's something wrong with you. Yes. Mindsets. There's a program inside each of them. The same comment has generated different reactions. So that's how life is. That's how it is. So that's how the program runs. So don't actually blame anybody on the outside again. Honestly, when you begin to understand, don't blame anybody. It is a reaction. It is a reaction. The same thing will happen to two different people, and it's two separate reactions because of what is inside. Simon Peter brought out the knife, and he cut the ear. Jesus said, no, not for to put it back. The same thing. He was not even the one that was threatened. They were threatening Jesus. So I want us to begin to understand. Let's begin to shift the focus. You know, it's in quietness and confidence. Let's begin to focus on that change. The essence that will be transformed to the image of Christ. You know, and the way we are today is a function of how we think. Let's accept that and say, Lord, that let's begin to change this. Enough of dancing around and jumping around. Let's begin to change this deliberately, a little at a time, a little at a time, a little at a time. With the challenges that come, it's an opportunity for you to correct something. Correct something. I said to my wife yesterday that now, she does something to me that I feel bad. I think it's not her. I said, it's not hard. I'll tell you that. The truth of the matter is not hard. That there's something inside me that needs to change. Let's begin to live like that. It's not what it is on the outside. It is you that needs to adjust something on the inside of you. Let's begin to think like that. We'll stop blaming people. Right. So that blueprint is regulating everything. I'll read two stories. It's not going to be a long sermon at all. I'll read two stories, then we'll take it from there. You know, when you're faced with a challenge, something comes your way, or you have a project, you want to be the end time financier of the body of Christ, or something comes your way that is a challenge. And let me say something here. You need to have something you're reaching out for, if not, you're going to soul sleep. A human being is designed to conquer. So if you don't have a goal, you don't have a target, or you don't have a challenge in front of you, it's a dangerous place to be. You're going to sow sleep, and an enemy will come and sow tears while you are asleep. When kings went fighting, King David was now a chief. He said, you guys go and fight. Let me stay here. He said, in the evening, he got up from his bed. I said, what was David doing in the bed in the evening? Not even morning. So he got up from the bed in the evening, and behold, he went to, and he saw Bathsheba. That's where the problem started. When men slept, he should have been at the battlefield fighting. to understand that in life. If you don't have a goal, create one. The project they gave you in office, use it as a goal. Create one. You say you must not be left without something you're reaching out for per second. Even if the habit you're trying to destroy, if the habit you're trying to overcome, there must be something you're reaching out for. If not, you're going to soul sleep. He says, the man said, my bands have... That's why success, when you are successful, it's very dangerous. That's what Pastor told you. He said last week, he said, three things you must never, never stop doing. Praying in the spirit, rejoicing, and meditating and confessing God's word, no matter what level you are on. If not, you'll be taken out. You'll be taken out. The man said, my bands have brought forth plentifully. Let me take my... He says, your soul will be required of you. He says, woe to them that is in Zion. Understand that. You must have a project. No matter how small it is, you must have something you're reaching out for. Don't go into soul sleep. And so the goal is in front of you. And it seems so formidable. It seems so big, you can't reach it. It seems that, God, this is a lot. I don't think I can do this. And the funny thing is that you realize that people have overcome so much. God has helped them to overcome so many things in their past that even the one in front of them is smaller compared to what he did for them in the past. It's smaller. But because certain things are God, the heart has failed. The hardness of heart has set in. With a few scriptures, just to highlight this, and we'll see the practice. It's very simple. Let's go to the book of, first of all, let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1. Just one principle. So let us go home and practice it. Wake up tomorrow morning, or when you get home, it's okay, this one, I'm going to practice it. Romans chapter 1. The way God showed me, I'll talk about it. Romans chapter 1. So for the wrath of God, 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood that the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that which may be known, when they knew God, they had experiences of God. They glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Because when they knew God, when they experienced God's power, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. What was the result of that? They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Hold your place. We'll just read a few scriptures and I will zero in on the point. It says, they were not thankful and they didn't glorify him as God. They were not thankful and they didn't glorify him as God. So as a result, their heart became unreceptive. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. Jesus had just done some miracles. He had just done some mighty works. He had just fed 5,000, I think. Then they experienced some storm. And he went up, 6:51, into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. As a result, their hearts were hardened. Let's go again. I'll show you something here. Go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14. follow this story. So this principle, if you ask me, I think it's one of the most formidable things that a man can live by. That when you practice this, you will see almost instant manifestation results. The effect is so profound. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gilead. Let's go to 6:6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. This is Jonathan making some serious pronouncements. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart unto thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thine heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up to them. But if they say to us, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hands, and this shall be a sign unto us. So both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we'll show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me. The Lord has delivered them into the hands of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up. Go on. And the first slaughter, and Jonathan and his armor bearer was made, was about 20 men within half an acre of land. So those, the armor bearer was a young chap. If you read another story, he was not experienced. So Jonathan slew 20 men single-handedly. And Jonathan was there when Goliath was shouting. Men of war were there when Goliath was shouting. Where was he? So they considered not the miracle of the Lord. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Let me show you this. Psalm 78:9. Jonathan was there. Men that had seen battle were there. Saul was there. He had been a mighty man in battle. Psalm 78:9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They were fully armed. They had all the things they required for battle. So they kept not the covenant of the God and refused to walk in his law. What was that covenant? They forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them, and marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and in the field of Zoan. That's what that was the problem. David, when he saw Goliath, his consciousness was saturated with God's works in his life. His consciousness was saturated with the victories that God had done in his life. His consciousness was saturated with that, and that was the foundation for the next level. When you are going to apply for a job, you have a CV. Is that what you present? God showed me that the CV is what you present of all your achievements. When you look at the CV, you say, okay, you can come. You need to have the CV with God's doings in your life. Honestly, you need to have that CV written down. You forget. I'm telling you, you will forget. God delivered you from some mighty thing last week. This week is a smaller challenge. Yeah. have collapsed. See, they forgot the works of God. David said, let no man's heart fail. What did he have? He wasn't an experienced soldier. What did he have? He had something else. He said, the lion and the bear, when Saul heard the rehearsal, Saul said, you got to go. See, we have to saturate. This is, we have to begin to practice this deliberately. Yesterday, I got my book of remembrance. I looked at it. I adjusted it a bit. I said, no, I've been practicing as I should. That you have to start. See, that thing is so formidable. See, I've given an example several times. Dr. Blackie will know that. I've said it over and over again. I repeat it. When I was coming to the UK, I had 6 weeks to prepare for PLAD exams. I hadn't opened the books because I was so busy. I go say, look, why did you go back? I went back to when I had exams and receipts in school, when I had 6 weeks to prepare for a year's work. You know, PLAB now, it's not something you play with. He said, why did you practice this? I took the scriptures, the things. I began to rehearse it in my consciousness. Every step. See, this thing is practical. Every step. How God took me through. Every step. I began to sing songs inside my heart. Regarding that. The songs that I sang then, I began to sing it. I began to worship God over that thing. I began to worship Him, remembering the events, playing it in my mind and worshiping God. I began to do it. Day one. Day two. By the time day six came, my consciousness was on a different level. I'm telling you, my consciousness had risen so much that even though I wasn't armed like the children of Ephraim, I knew I had a victory. Start from there. Practice it. No, it's not true. Practice it. Go back home. Write it out. That's the foundation for the next level. You will never be employed in your CV. Write the goodness of God. They all perished in the wilderness. This is very serious. They forgot. They perished in the wilderness. Even in spite of mighty work, they forgot completely. The heart could not, when it failed. They listened to, let no man's heart fail. And the personal thing, the other thing I'll say, let no man despise your CV. Let no man despise your CV. It's between you and God. Let's read the other scripture. I won't read it, but when they came back from the great slaughter, if I think I should read it. When they carried David's wife and all the people away. So when the guys came, they cried to the point where there was no more strength in them. They took their wives, they took everything. They said, David, you're the one. Let us stone you. David, just think of how they have failed. So David encouraged himself. How did he do that? You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. He went back. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust you. David went back. He went back. How did he encourage himself? They singled him out. All his friends were soldiers. They said, you are the one. He says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He's God. It was personal. Nobody knew the lion and the bear. In fact, his brother wanted to despise his youth. He said, you're always looking for trouble everywhere. So what are you doing here? You don't know anything about war. You didn't know the secret. That is the secret of your life. Don't let anybody take it from you with careless talk. The miracles, the deliverances, the hand, the invisible hand of God in your life, in the past, You have to build a memorial, man. You have to go back deliberately. It is the secret of your life. The brothers didn't know. Just think about the 17-year-old boy. What are you talking about? You're talking rubbish. Well, go back to the shepherd's farm. See, no, I have something you don't know about. I have some dealings in the privacy of my heart you don't know about. And I'm going to activate it now. Only me and God know about it. And any time anything rises up, I'll bring up my arsenal. Go back. And begin to rehearse those things. The miracles. The movement of God's hand. Mighty things He has done in your life in the past. Miracles that are nothing compared to what you're looking for a job now. God has healed you of serious illnesses. You're looking for a small job. It's shaking your leg. Things, formidable things, that if people hear, they will sigh. Go back and write that book of remembrance. And begin to worship God. Say, I will make the point of this week. Every half hour, every day, I will sing on that place. My altar with God. Personal. Nobody knows about it. Personal. And it says Goliath will fall like them. Then when he finished singing, we'll continue next week. Say, bring the effort. Let us inquire of the Lord. Bring the effort. We have built the foundation. We have fortified in our consciousness. Now we need to have the direction of where to go. That's the next step. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we thank you for your word. Begin to go back to your life. I'm going to itemize. Before we do that, I want to show you something. Father, we give you thanks. Principles of God are simple but profound. Deliverance is beside you. There's nothing that you're facing. God has given you the raw material. The CV is there. I saw this as a book and I gave it to me. I love this. It's just an example of a book of remembrance a family wrote. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endure forever. I think they used Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Alpha and Omega, for his mercies endure forever. Who sustains us in our families, for his mercies endure forever. This is a family writing this about a whole family. Just think about you gathering with your children, your husband, and begin to rehearse. Who ensured safe deliveries for our children, his mercies endure forever. Who enables us to bring them up in the fear of the Lord? His mercies endure forever. Who healed our last daughter of terrible measles at 89 years old? His mercies endure forever. With love, he protected Daddy when on military peacekeeping assignment in Lebanon. His mercies endure forever. He gave perfect healing in Daddy's legs after the fracture of that Good Friday 20 years ago. His mercies endure forever. All our children passed their GCE exams at first sitting. His mercies endure forever. Give thanks to him who made our admission procedures easy. Oh, that's how graphic you have to be. We take things for granted, we forget. It says, bless the Lord over and forget not all his benefits. That's the secret of David's life. He went on and on. He said, only about 12 inches to the next room. When my mom was, it was so graphic. I read this. He says, he preserved our lives when a mysterious stray bullet shattered the roof into the living room. His mercy endures forever. Landing only about 3 feet to where two of the children were watching television, and only about 12 inches to the next room when mommy was asleep. His mercy. They wrote specifically in detail. You forget. That's what the children of Israel did. That's why you have these things here. David was a man that understood this thing. That's the key of David. You understood this. This was the secret. One of the secrets of David. Let's go back to our lives. I'm going to sing to him on a daily basis. Let's sing that song again. You are my hiding place. You are with spirit. trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you. Begin to remember the things you've done in your life. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Father, we give you thanks. We don't forget your benefits, O God. Your wonders in our lives. We rehearse them, O God, and we are grateful for them. We are giving thanks to you, Father. We open our hearts in gratitude for all the things you've done. From when we were in our mother's womb, safe delivery to the earth, right set of parents, you brought us forth, even to where we are today. Different challenges, different victories, different glories, different experiences, and today we are still standing. We cannot say thank you enough. Father, we decide today that each day of our lives we will bring to remembrance your goodness, your mercies, the things you have done in our lives. David said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. We choose to take sides with David. Thank you for your strength to do this, O God. And we thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.